Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you first out of Hebrews chapter 11. Y'all ready to go? Are you tired of hearing me? Sometimes I get to thinking that maybe you're getting tired of hearing me, and sometimes I feel like I'm saying the same stuff over and over and over. I guess I am. I don't know. Because I'm going to get up here and tell you God's good. Huh? I'm going to get up here and tell you He loves you. And I don't know who you are today, and I don't know what you had going on before you got here, but it really doesn't matter because God loves you and you're important to Him. Hebrews 11, 6, we all know this scripture, but it hadn't just been until recently that I began to get a revelation what this scripture is really meaning. And by the time I get that revelation down, how many know the scripture's pregnant? It's constantly giving birth to new revelation. And so by the time I get this revelation down, I'll read this in a year or two and I'll go, well, gosh, I never saw that in that verse before. That ever happened to you? Okay, now listen, y'all can participate today. You can say amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Everybody say good preaching. Okay, everybody say give it to me. Okay, now you can feel free to say that kind of stuff anytime you want to, okay? And if you encourage me, I'll go faster, see? And we'll get out of here quicker. Now that'll get you, huh? I've met... well, we're going to have to learn when to do that. I've met several visitors around, and we're so happy you're here today, and you're not a visitor after today. I hope you're looking for a pastor because I want to be him. And I hope you're looking for a church because we want to be your church. So we love you. Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This verse is saying more. I read a lot of interpretations, and it says, because he who comes to God must know that He is. You know, this is talking about more than just knowing God's God. Okay? I mean, the devil knows God's God. All the devils in hell know who God is. So this is more than, this statement Paul's making here is more than just knowing that God exists. You see, this is knowing Him, knowing God, knowing who He is, knowing His nature, knowing His personality. Are you understanding me? We must know that He is. No, we must know who He is. We must know how He feels about us. How he feels about us and what He wants to do in our life. Do you understand what I'm saying here? The Holy Spirit's trying to bring us depth into this thing. He's wanting us to know the God we serve. Not just the man upstairs. He's wanting us to know the God. He's my daddy. He's my father. He's the one that watches out for me. He's the one that protects me. He's the one that takes care of everything for me. He's my God. Who He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek to find out who He is. Are you hearing me? Those who diligently go after Him. Those who seek out, who search, who investigate, who crave, who demand, who worship. Those who say, God, I have to know You. I have to have more of You. I want all that You are. I want all that You have for me, God. That's His heart. That's His desire for me. I can't do it for you, but I can do it for me. You can't do it for me, but you can do it for you. And you can do it just like you are, just who you are, just where you are. There's no limitations with God. You don't have to fit into my mold. I don't have to fit into your mold. We don't have to fit into anybody else's idea. I can find out who my God is for myself. I didn't mean to get so involved here right at the beginning, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. Discover His goodness. Discover who He is. We've talked about a lot of things, and I won't go into Jeremiah, but we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about how that before we were ever born, God had a plan for us. Before you were ever conceived, He had a plan and a purpose for your life. But get this, before you ever existed, He cared about you. You know one of the biggest problems in our society now? People feel like nobody cares. People feel like they're alone. People feel deprived. They feel inadequate. They feel inferior. They feel unwanted. Are you hearing me? One of the biggest problems in our society is the lack of fathers. This would be a good one to do on Father's Day. They'll forget it by then, Chris. We'll do it again on Father's Day. But the lack of fathers. Listen, I'm not just talking about being a dad. I'm talking about being a father. And guys, if you have girls, if you have young girls, if God's blessed you with girls, you need to be that force in their life that makes them feel special, that makes them feel wanted, that makes them feel beautiful. You need to make them your princess. Because if a lady grows up and she has never had this connection, she might spend her whole life looking for that need. We know folks that have gone from husband to husband to husband, from relationship to relationship to relationship, because they just want to feel beautiful. They just want to feel good. Every lady wants to be somebody's princess. Listen to me. And dads, we're the only ones that can do that. Being a father. Guys want to be approved. Guys want to know that they're, guys want affirmation. The male, we want somebody to know that we want somebody to tell us you're doing a good job. Somebody to tell us you're important. Somebody to tell us you're on track. You're valuable. Listen to me. Because this isn't just for our kids. This is what we as husbands and wives ought to be doing to each other. And when we don't have that, guys, we grow up with inferiority complexes. We grow up sometimes it comes out in the form of anger. Sometimes it comes out in the form of macho. Sometimes it comes out in the, I'm going to prove that I'm something. Even Jesus had to have it. God spoke to Jesus and said, "That's my son. And I am well pleased with him." Now listen to me. I'm not saying that so you have a cop-out. I didn't have a dad. I didn't have the right kind of dad. No, you got a Father in heaven that cares about you. You got a Father in heaven that'll make up for every bit of loss in your life, every bit of lack in your life. You got a God that loves you beyond anything you could imagine. And He's able to fix all those dysfunctions in our lives and make us functional again. So don't use it for a cop-out. I didn't mean that wasn't even the message. Pretty good. I could probably stop here, couldn't I? I won't. Somebody said, oh. And that would have been a good time to say amen. That would have been a good time. Hey, God loves you so much that He gave everything just to get you back. Huh? He gave everything. He sent Jesus here. For me, for you, to get us back. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He cares about us. He sent Jesus back to perform an act that would reconcile us to Him. He would become an atonement for our sins. He would become an instrument that God would use, a sacrifice that God would use so that I could be back in harmony with Him. So I could be back in covenant relationship with Him. So that I could be back in fellowship with Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He gave everything to get you back. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Frank Petrosino over here is going to begin to talk on our covenant. So if you can be here, you need to be here. Anyway, commercial. He sent Jesus to be a representative so that we could see how He really was. And the way God really is was so foreign to everybody that was here that hardly nobody recognized it was Jesus, that it was God. I wonder if He came back today, how many Christians would recognize Him? Just thought. He sent His Son Jesus to get us back. You got to understand, when that curtain of the Holy of Holies ripped, that curtain held back the presence of God. The only place God's presence on the earth was in that Holy of Holies, and only the priest could go in there and get any of that presence of God and take it out to the people. But when Jesus paid the sacrifice, that curtain ripped from the top to the bottom. And that meant that there would never, never, ever again be anything that could stop me from going to Daddy. Nothing could ever stop me from being in the presence of God. Oh, no wonder He said, we are priests. Huh? Well, I'm already wore out and I hadn't even got through the first half page here. He said in Isaiah 54, He said that he would never be angry. After Jesus did this, said, I'll never be angry with you. I'll never rebuke you. Everything with everlasting kindness, I will show you my mercy. I'll show you my mercy, and my kindness will never leave you. My covenant of peace will never be removed. That's powerful. That's powerful. He says, I'll never be angry. That doesn't mean God is never going to not like something I did. Because anytime I'm acting different than Jesus acted, God's kind of shaking His head. Doesn't mean He doesn't love me. He just doesn't love what I'm doing. Are you with me? But that word angry is the same word that was used when God and Moses were up on the hill and God got angry. And He said, Moses, I'm just going to kill the whole bunch and start a new generation, new people with you. Moses said, God, you can't do that. You understand the anger that I'm talking about? He said, I'm not ever going to feel that way about you again. I'm not ever going to be so mad at you that I want to kill you. I killed my son for you. That word rebuke I'll never rebuke you. He isn't saying I'll never correct you. I'll never tell you. Man, I want him to correct me, don't you? I mean, I want to be a son and not the other. It doesn't mean that he won't ever correct us. It doesn't mean that he won't ever discipline. That word rebuke is a word, same word in the Old Testament whenever he would use it, and he would rebuke the enemy. He would prepare the enemy for the destruction of Israel. He'd be so mad. He would remember he'd raise up and the Philistines came and took him. The Egyptians came and took him, and they'd take him into bondage. He says, that'll never happen again. I'm saying that to say this. Whatever you do, you will never do anything bad enough that God won't welcome you back with open arms. Well, I just believe I've committed the unpardonable sin. Well, if you're still breathing, you haven't. Because the unpardonable sin is to not receive Him, to not receive His Spirit, not receive His new life. And if you die and you've never received Jesus, then you have committed it, because you're going to go to hell. By the way, if you're here and you haven't received Jesus, just do it. You don't even have to wait. Just do it. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Huh? He'll start showing you the rest. Huh? Ephesians 2, Paul said, when we made Jesus our Lord, it says that God raised us up. He raised us up from the dead and gave us life. He raised us up out of darkness. Colossians 1:13 says He transformed us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Realize what happened. He loved us so much, He raised us up. He took us out of sin and death. He took us out from under control of the enemy. He took us out from under the dominion of darkness. He took us out and put us over in light. And now all we have to do is choose light. All we have to do is choose Him. And He always reigns over darkness. That's what we just did as a nation. When we prayed for the nation. And not only that, but I believe that just like God spoke to my heart to do that, I believe He's speaking to Christians and congregations all across America today to do the same. Because I make a choice. I don't walk under that law of sin and death anymore. I make a choice. He's already done it. Now I make a choice to live there. I make a choice to live healed. I make a choice to live in abundance. I make a choice to live in all that God has for me. Are you hearing me? And He goes on in Ephesians and says, He raised us up. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, but He raised us up and made us alive. He raised us up to Jesus' level. He raised us up so that we could be a son just like His Son through Him. He created us. He did it. We didn't do it. He created us. We are His workmanship. Paul says He created us so that in the ages to come, He could show us the exceeding kindness of His grace. This is the ages to come, by the way. Now, when we get down the road, it's going to be the ages to come. When we get to heaven, it's going to be the ages to come. 1,000 years from now, it's going to be the ages to come, because they're just going to come and come and come and come and come and come for eternity. It never ends. Woo! Somebody get excited. And He's going to show us that exceeding kindness, that grace, by allowing us and making it possible for us to walk in all of His goodness. All of His good works that He prepared for us beforehand. Now, God wants us to expand our vision. I said God wants us to start thinking big. He wants us to realize who He is. I'm going to read you a few verses, and I don't know if you got those or not. I keep adding stuff here, but 1 John 4:9-10, I got to hurry here. It says, in the love in this the love of God was manifest towards us. In other words, this is how He showed us His love. Are you with me? This is how He showed us how much He loved us. It says that He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Now, this is what real love is. It's not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son for us to be a propitiation for our sins, to be an atonement, to be the atoning sacrifice, to be the act of appeasement of wrath, to be the conciling us back into harmony with Him. He loved you first. That's why He came after you. That's why He's still after you. That's why He's trying to help you. That's why He's trying to work in your life. That's why He's trying to change you and me. Because He loves us. You go on down a few verses and it says, love has been perfected or made perfect among us. Love has been completely accomplished. Love finished the issue. Love brought it to an end. Love settled the issue. Love, once and for all, brought all the power of darkness in our life, brought it all to an end. All the dominion, all the power the devil has over us, once and for all, it was settled. He doesn't have it over you anymore, Hank. And this is why. It was so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Now let me just say something real quick. There's going to be a day of judgment. Okay, I'm not trying to take away from that. But let me tell you something. Your day of judgment is when the trial is on your life, when the tribulation is happening in your life. Your day of judgment is when the enemy is after you, when everything you think and everything you feel and everything you see looks like it's all over. That's your day of judgment. And that's the day that we're to have boldness in. When He comes after me, I can look at Him and I can say, I belong to Father. Listen to me. It says, as He is, so are we in this world. Hold it. You didn't get away with that with Jesus when He was here, and you're not going to get away with that now because He's in me. I belong to Him. And through Him, I can do it all. Through Him, I can take care of you, you puny little pygmy demon. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Big Brother. And He already bruised your head. Is it okay if we talk this how we can understand it? Huh? Some of you have been reading all week in King James. I want it to be in King today. I want it to be in everyday language where I can understand it because I got to have something to live today. I'm not living back 200 or 300 years ago or 2,000 years ago. I'm living right here in 2017 and I got to have some power in my life. I got to know in whom I am believed. I got to be persuaded that He's able to keep me. I'm getting a lot more excited than you are, I can tell. And perfect love cast out fear. Of course, fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love yet. But we love Him because He first loved us. Mm-mm-mm. That's where my trust is. Huh? My trust isn't that I said, oh God, I love You, I love You, I love You, I love You. No, my trust is in He said, Hank, I love You, I love You, I love You, I love You. You're my boy. I'm well pleased. Now, we got to straighten a few things up, but I'm well pleased with you. You still got some rough edges. Don't worry, I'll get them smoothed off. But I'm proud of you. You see the difference? See, the lack of fear is faith. He goes on in the next chapter in 1 John. He says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Boy, isn't she good? She just gets those scriptures fine. I can just throw in stuff and she just gets it. I'll give Vicki a hand, man. She does a good job. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And he goes on then down a little further, and he says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. Huh? Why? This is the confidence that I have in him. Huh? This is my confidence, man. And I know that if I ask anything according to his will, I know that my Father hears me. And if I know he hears me, then whatever I ask, I know I'll have it. Because he loves me. Well, I want you to understand, my confidence, my faith and my confidence isn't in just who he is, but it's in his willingness to do for me. Are you hearing me? Get with me now, or you won't get the rest of this. Now I want us to expand our vision. I want us to start to think bigger. See, God's resources are unlimited. His goodness is undefinable. If you could come up with a definition, he'll just be gooder. And you'll have to figure out a new way to say it. And when you figure that out, he'll just be gooder. Well, that's because he's bigly. Be gooder. And pretty soon they'll just get gooder and gooder and gooder, and you'll run out of words, and you'll just have to talk in tongues to express how you really feel about him. To express what's really going on inside of you. Some of you, maybe we'll talk about some of that next week. See, you can't ask anything too big for him. He's not going to run out. You ever see a Christian? I've prayed that way, like I was afraid if he gave me too much, there wouldn't be enough left for you, Scott. Or if I ask him for something too big, Chris, I mean, if I just asked him for something too big, he might run out. Oh, I don't want a whole lot, God. I just want that baloney. You're lying when you pray that because you want a whole bunch. Not me. Well, I know, but when you quit being so spiritual, you'll find out that you're the same way as all of us. We just learn how to put all that in check and control it all in our lives and keep balance in there. Are you with me? Is this okay? Will this play in California? Okay. This is part of our congregation from California. And they come back every once in a while and stay. They might just move back here. Anyway. See, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that Father can be glorified. Huh? See, and I know you got that bumper sticker on your bumper and your car is about to fall apart, and that's okay. And you're saying, honk if you love Jesus. Hey, maybe he'd like you to put that on a new car. Oh, here we go, Tom. Now listen, I'm not talking about just getting stuff. I'm not talking about a greedy mess of just wanting stuff. I'm talking about going after God with all your heart and wanting to know who he is with all your heart and expecting him to do his goodness in your life. Expecting him to be big in your life. Are you with me? Ought to ask for things too big. A story about, and I got to it real quick. Keith Moore, some of you know who Keith Moore is. He's got a church in Branson and one in Sarasota, Florida. And a couple years back, God told him, I want you to build a building, a word center. I want you to build this building, and told him how to build it. And he said, we're going to put equipment in there that you're going to be able to send the gospel all over the world in every language that's in the world. You're going to be able to send the gospel into every corner of the earth. in whatever language they speak. And you know what? They got the building built. They've got it built. But here's the good part of the story. God told him to build this building, but some of the stuff he needs to accomplish this hasn't even been invented yet. How's that for faith? Step out here and spend some millions of dollars to build this building. And he said it. He said, hey, some of the stuff we need hadn't even been invented yet, but it'll be invented by the time we need it because God will see to it. Could you think big? Could you think bigger? Biglier? See, if you can't ask for anything that he doesn't have or that he can't get. And if he doesn't have it, he'll just make it. Or he'll show you how to make it. Everything in existence today is because he showed somebody how to make it, how to invent it. Well, roll that around for a little while. Whatever, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Pretty limitless, folks. Pretty limitless. See, we receive all that His grace provides for us with our faith. With our faith in Him. So you see, it's how much my faith is developed that determines what level in life that I live on. Catch this, because you don't have to stay where you are. And let me tell you this, somebody else's plan won't work for you. Only your plan will work for you, because He has plans for you that He has for nobody else. So when you read somebody's book about how they got healed, that doesn't mean you're limited and have to do it the way they did it. That just means you take that as encouragement and you say, wow, if He healed them, He'll heal me. When somebody tells you how they prospered and got over, it's not that you find out what they did and you do everything they did. No, it's God, if you had a plan for them, you got a plan for me too. Show me, Father, I'm here. Here I am. Well, I hope I'm saying something that sparks you. It's the level, it's how much my faith has developed that determines the level I live on. It's simply this. I just hate it when preachers, and I've done it as much as anybody, try to complicate everything and make it sound so hard that you really got to work and you really got to work hard to get it. And one of these days, you'll be as smart as me. Do you know how blessed you are? Some of you that have come up with me since the 70s. I mean, you know I'm not very smart. That's not the place to amen. Understand what I'm saying? No, let me just say that. That just simply means what the level I live on depends on how much I trust God, how much I rely on God, how much I believe in what He said and how He feels about me, and how much I believe that and how much I act on what I believe. So if somebody else is more prosperous than you, this isn't a game. This isn't a match where I try to get more than you and then you try to get more than me and then we try to get more. No, this is a match where you run your own race. God loves you just where you are. If you never have nothing, He loves you. If you never develop a bit, He loves you. But it's all here. We might as well go for it. Huh? I mean, what was the famous line? What have you got to lose? I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm saying is it's all about my relationship with Him. It's the more of the revelation I have of Him, the stronger my faith is. And let me just say this, and I'm not going to get near where I thought I was going to get, but that's okay. I've already said more than I thought I was going to say. Holy Spirit's already talked more to you than you thought He was going to today. It's not a matter of working harder to get more faith. God's not after your performance. The law requires. And if you want to live in law mentality, you can never do enough. And no matter how much you do for God, you never feel adequate. No matter how much you do, it never was enough. Are you with me? No matter how hard you try, you're still falling short. Law requires, grace enables. You can't work harder to get more faith. And I got to read more. I got to read more scripture. Well, that's really having the peace of God, isn't it? Huh? Because you're never going to live up. You're never going to deserve it. No, my faith grows the more I learn about Him. My faith grows as my relationship grows. As my relationship with Him grows, my performance starts changing. Huh? Are you with me? Because I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to be that way no more. Man, that stuff pops up out of my heart and I go, "Ooh, why did I say it that way? Why I don't want that in me anymore." Let me read you a quote from a man named Bill Johnson. He wrote a lot of books, but one of the books that I'm reading now is God is Good. And you ought to get that. Write it down. God is Good, Bill Johnson. He said this. He said, "What we believe about Him will have an effect on our lives in a measurable way because He rewards those who have set their hearts to discovering Him." He rewards us when we set our hearts, "God, I want to know You. I want to know everything about You. I want to know all I can know about You. I want to live in everything You got for me. I want to be all I can be for You." Discovering Him. Discovering Him. Folks, that's a lot easier than working for it, by the way. I spent 30-some years working for it and figured out I wasn't any closer to the end than I was when I started. Now, when I'm finding out it's about relationship, I'm kind of moving at warp speed, man. Huh? I mean, I'm moving at warp speed. If I could tell you all the things I've thought this last few days, we'd be here 38 hours just today. I want to discover You, Father. Let me read you what Peter said real quick. He said in 2 Peter 2, he said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust." Now, I saw some points in here, and I'll just say them as much as I can. I might come back and hit on this again. I don't want to keep y'all late. But I saw some things in here. First thing is how does that knowledge of God, how is that peace and grace multiplied to us? How is it? It's multiplied us through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So in other words, he's saying, the more I learn about Him, the more I realize about Him, the more grace, the more peace that I have. Does that make sense? The second thing is, he says that He has given us everything. Everybody say everything. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Folks, He's given us everything we need here and everything we're going to need there. Hear me? He's given us everything, everything He has. Jesus said in John 16, He said, everything I have, I give it to you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Everything I have, I give it to you. Everything the Father has, He's already given it to me. So let me say that again. Now, everything I have and everything Father has, I give it to you. Catch that. Do you realize what He said? We have access to everything the Father has. Well, there's just some stuff we won't know till we're there. That's true. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we won't know. But I'm not supposed to use that as a cop-out and as an excuse. Well, you know, God is mysterious. He's not mysterious to me. He talks to me. I sit down with Him and I listen and I talk and I fellowship and I read what He said and I fellowship and I listen. 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 We have access to everything He has. Do you think He can't get you a little old puny house? Huh? Do you think He can't get you what's a new car to Him? What's more than enough to Him? It's never more than enough to Him. He just throws a little on us and it's more than enough for us. The next thing I saw here was how and what. We get it through our knowledge of Him. What? He's given us everything. The next thing is how again. How does He give us everything? The verse says, through our knowledge of Him. How's everything made accessible to us? Through my knowledge of Him. Ephesians 1:17, Paul said this. He said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit was going to do. In John 16, He says, I will take what is mine. He said, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to reveal all this to you. He's going to declare all this to you. He says, I'll take what's mine and declare it to you. And all things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say, I'll take what's mine and declare it to you. You got the very Spirit of God living in you if you're born again. You got His presence living in you. And He'll tell you everything you need to know, and He'll even tell you everything you want to know if you'll sit still and listen long enough. He won't tell you through your feelings. He won't tell you through your intellect. He'll tell you through a still small voice on the inside of you. So you go ahead and be swayed by what you think and act on what you think and act on what you feel and just keep going around that mountain as long as you want to. But when you stop and get still, He said, be still and know that I'm your God. Well, I've got to move on. Are you with me? As my knowledge of Him grows, the grace and peace, His grace and peace is multiplied in me. As my knowledge of Him grows, He gives me the exceeding great and precious promises that He has. Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. What's that mean? What sounds spiritual? Sounds spiritual in King James. Sounds spiritual. So what's this mean? This means, well, as my knowledge of Him grows, as my knowledge of Him, of what He thinks grows, as I begin to realize how He really feels about me. See, as I begin to realize that He doesn't want me sick, then I begin to walk in more health. Are you hearing me? As I get a revelation of that, as I realize that no sickness or disease is supposed to come into my house, as I realize that, at whatever level my relationship with Him, I grow in that area with Him. Holy Spirit, help us catch this. As I realized that He took my infirmities and He took my diseases, as I realized that, I began to walk in more and more freedom, more and more health. See, it's okay to be where you are. Quit trying to be where somebody else is. Quit trying to get somebody else's blessing. He's got yours. Let's go right where you are. He'll bypass anybody's formula that you think you have to keep. See, as I realize that He doesn't want me to lack in anything, as I realize how He feels about me and what He wants to do in my life, I begin to live more and more in that level, on that level. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you're blaming somebody else for your predicament. You're blaming somebody else for your situation. Quit it. He'll take you. And He might do it different for you than He ever did it for anybody, but He'll do it for you if you believe Him and trust Him. As I realize He wants me to have more than enough, I begin to live in more than enough. Because that's the way I begin to think. And as I think in my heart, that's the way I'll be. And I begin to talk that way because out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth will speak. And I begin to become my own prophet because of the power of the Word of God. Should have started here at the beginning, huh? When I realized, when I learned more and more enough about Him, and I realized more and more that He doesn't want me depressed, He doesn't want me discouraged, He doesn't want me feeling inferior, He doesn't want all those things, and I quit thinking that way. As I began to think that, I began to live in a different place, on a different level. Wore myself out on that. I hope you got it. The more revelation I have of Him, the more like Him I live. Why did He say He'd do all this? I am getting done here. Why did He say I'd do all this? So that I could partake of His divine nature. Listen to me. Look. Listen to me. So I could walk like Him as He is in this world, so are we. So I could take on His nature. So I could think like God and act like God and be like God. Help me, Holy Spirit. It says, so I could partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this earth. So I can be like Him. I can only be like Him because of Him. Are you with me? I can only be like Him because I can only be whatever He makes us. But that's what He's trying to tell you. I already made you. I already did this. How much of what I did will you believe, Hank? I got this much, Lord. Okay, then that's how much I'll give you. Well, could I have this much? Yeah, if you disbelieve for that much, you can have that much. Well, but could I have that much? Well, yeah, you know, as your faith is, so be it. And can I have that much? Hey, all things are possible to you if you can just believe. So I can partake of His goodness. So I can walk in His favor. So I can be one with Him. But listen to this. He said, I don't have time to do this, but He said, so we could be a partaker. Let me read you Colossians 1. I was going to read all that, but I'm just going to read you one verse. Colossians 1:12 says, and giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Listen to me. He has qualified us. How many ever felt like you just didn't qualify? Anybody ever try for a job or anything? You just didn't feel like you didn't qualify? How many ever, you know, just didn't live up to it? Now He qualified us. He qualified you. Now listen to this. So you can be a partaker. He qualified us. We have to partake. Oh, I just believe God can do anything. Yes, He can do anything, but He'll only do for me what I believe Him to do for me. What am I saying? I'm just saying, I'm telling you, I'm hoping that some of the things I say begin to cause us to walk a different way, think a different way. You see, I'm learning all this so that I can walk in confidence and boldness, so that I can realize His love for me, so that I can have confidence that this world and all this world has, all the darkness of this world's trying to do to me, I have confidence, I have overcome that. I've been transferred out of that. He is not my boss anymore. Jesus is my boss. And the more revelation of that I come in, the more I walk in. I'm going to read you Romans 8 and I'm going to quit. Romans 8:32. Let's do 31:2. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Huh? Yeah, go ahead and give Him some praise. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him also freely give us all things?" You shut this or I'll preach you another one. Are you hearing me? Do you hear what He just said in verse 32? Go home and read it this week. He said, "If I didn't spare my own Son, wouldn't I give you everything else you need and want and desire?" I mean, if I was going to spare anything, I'd have spared my Son. I wouldn't spare that house you're believing for. If I was going to spare anything, if I was going to be Him, it wouldn't be that. I mean, if I'm big enough to send Him and give Him for you to get you back, don't you think I want you to walk in all my goodness? Well, praise the Lord. I'm done. Everybody stand. Sing a song. Sing a song. If you need to come for anything, come. I wasn't planning on getting wore out, but I did. If you're here today and you're not saved, or maybe you asked Him into your heart a while ago, come on down here and let one of us pray with you. If you're here today and you've been saved, you've given Him your life and you've never been baptized in water, come on down here. We'll baptize you today. Todd's going to get ready to baptize you right now if that's what you came for. If you just need somebody to pray with you and agree with you about something, come on down here. We'll be happy to do it. Did I say anything today that helped you? I'm going to pray this prayer for me now, and you pray it for yourself. But Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to give me a revelation of what I've just said. I'm asking You, Holy Spirit, to give me a revelation of my Father. I'm going to diligently seek You, Father. Pray that prayer for yourself. Isn't He good? Just worship Him. We're done. Just worship Him. If you need to come, come on. I'll fly away, oh glory. I don't know what you came for today, but if you came for anything different than you got, come on back next week and we'll try to give you what you come for. But hey, God's good, isn't He? Tell Him you love Him. You ought to just say, "God, I want all You got for me. You know right where I'm at. You know how..."